My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's what it is. No confidence in this flesh. Bill Glaze, if he puts confidence in the flesh, he can get about as far as the heaven as I can jump in the sky. And that's not too high. Confidence in the flesh will not get me to heaven. Confidence, oh, let's back up now. Confidence in good works. Confidence in being baptized. Confidence in joining a church. Confidence in treating my fellow man right will not get me into heaven. Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Watch Out for Brand X Christianity. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Watch Out for Brand X Christianity.
The Holy Spirit, they were already growing in the Lord. They were taking off in their faith. Man, they were shot out of the rocket. They were doing good. And now all of a sudden, somebody comes along, respected men, men who supposedly knew the law and knew the word. And they came to these individuals and they said, look, you know, salvation is good, but you also need to be circumcised. Paul said, beware of these Judaizers. Because these Judaizers are coming in and they're trying to move you off of what is the foundation. They're trying to move you off of the truth. And so Paul warns them to beware of these individuals. The word beware, look at the notes. Look at the word beware means to keep an eye on them. Paul uses three phrases to admonish them to keep a close watch on the Judaizers. The first thing he tells them is beware of dogs. Now, back in Paul's day, you know, dogs were two kinds. Many of you have your house dog, you know, that runs up in your crib. You feed it dog food. You know, maybe it might, at some times, it might even get some good stuff off of your table. All right? So you got your, you know, your dog. That was one term that was used for dogs in this time. But then there was another term that was used, and it was a scavenger dog. And it was a dog that sometimes, if he happened to wander upon a good meal, he could get a good meal. But most of the times, he ate garbage out in the street. You remember in, was it Luke 16, where the rich man Lazarus was brought to the rich man's gate, and the dogs came and licked his sores. Those were the scavenger dogs. They were just looking for garbage to be thrown out so that they could eat it. And so Paul says here, beware of dogs. And when he's telling them to beware of dogs, he's not telling them to beware of house dogs. He's not telling them to beware of, he uses a completely different word for that dog. But the word here means these scavenger dogs that traveled in packs and that went out and sometimes they would even attack human beings. That's how vicious that they were. These scavenger dogs. People said, but Paul said, watch out for dogs. Now, keep in mind that a dog ate, watch this now, watch this, saints. Those scavenger dogs sometimes had good meals, and sometimes they had garbage. Sometimes they ate pure meals, and sometimes they ate impure meals. Paul said, watch out for dogs, because these dogs will come in, and they will have some... They will have some truth, but then they're going to mix in some garbage with it. And so you'll sit down and you'll begin to listen to them and you'll begin to fellowship with them. And the pure will be mixed in with the impure. And you won't know what the truth is. Paul said, watch out for dogs. He calls anyone that comes and teaches you that Jesus Christ is not enough for salvation, if they add anything to that, their dog. He said, beware of dogs. And hopefully, back to verse 1, Paul said, man, I've poured my heart and I've poured my spirit into you, Philippians. You know, when I was there, I preached and I taught my heart out because I wanted you to know the truth. And I'm sending back, we saw last time, I'm sending back Epaphroditus. He's coming back. And hopefully at some point I'm going to send Timothy back. And they're going to come back and they're going to give you my, they're going to teach you, they're going to give you my heart because I want you to know the truth. And I don't want you to let dogs slip in there and start mixing the pure with the impure. And you get confused and don't know what it is that you're supposed to be dealing with. He says, secondly, not only watch out for dogs, but he says, beware of evil workers. Beware of evil workers. Not only were these people evil, but they were workers. And the word worker actually means someone who exerts a lot of energy. So they were actually exerting a lot of energy to do evil, to oppose the gospel. Anything that they could to divert people's attention and people's heart from the gospel, that's what they did. He said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. And then he says, beware of the concision. Beware of the concision. Look at the notes this morning. The word concision comes from the Greek word katanome and literally means cutting or mutilation. Paul uses this word to describe the Judaizers as those who require circumcision for salvation. All they were doing was causing people to mutilate their flesh, because circumcision of the flesh without circumcision of the heart is just mutilation of the body. Man, that's a hard saying right there, Paul. And you know, I don't want to get into the graphic nature of things this morning, but you understand the point that's trying to be made here. Is that here were these Judaizers, and they were going and telling people that in addition to being saved, that in order for them to really be saved, that they had to be circumcised. And Paul said, if that's what you're teaching, beware of the concision, because all you're doing is you're having people mutilate their flesh. And that's what they were doing, mutilating their flesh, and it meant absolutely nothing. And you know, there's a lot of people that are trying to get the saints to go through all type of rigors and all type of rolls and all type of gyrations and cuttings and everything else in order to add something to your salvation. He said, beware of the concision. Beware of those who want to add these things to you that cause you to do this and cause you to act that way and cause you to do it. And they're not concerned about the real foundation, which is salvation. And Paul says, anyways, it's not circumcision of the flesh, circumcision of the heart. Has your heart been circumcised? Have you received Christ as your Savior? And he goes on and he gives us here three characteristics of true Christianity. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, for we are the circumcision, he said, this is the real circumcision, who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. First of all, he says that we worship in the spirit. Now, if you're here today, all right, and when the choir was playing and you stood up, which is a reaction, I mean, right now everybody's sitting down, all right, because that's the order of the service right now. But when the choir's singing, sometimes the order of service might be for some people to stand up. When you stand up, were you led by the Spirit to stand up? It's good to stand up. I stand up. Sometimes I sit there, I can't sit because just something in me, like a fire, as Jeremiah said, that's shut up in my bones like a fire, and I got to stand up. He says that when we that are of God, we worship in the Spirit because we have the Spirit in us. And when we worship, the Spirit moves us. And even as we sit here today, hopefully the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart as the Word of God is going forth, as the prayers are being given, as the testimonies were being given, that the Spirit of God is leading you and guiding you in your worship. See, sometimes there's too much, as Paul said, the last thing he said, too much confidence in the flesh. See, you know, a lot of people, instead of us worshiping in the Spirit, you know, we're worshiping in the flesh. You know, we're trying to impress somebody. We want to let somebody know that we can clap. Or we want to let somebody know that we got a little rhythm, you know? And that's in the flesh. But true worship is of the Spirit. And once again, I have nothing against standing. I stand up. Y'all see me stand. I wave my hand, all right? So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, are we doing it in the Spirit? If we're not, then we're almost like the Judaizers. We're just doing this thing out of the flesh. And Paul said that means absolutely nothing. He says, not only do we worship in the Spirit, but we rejoice in Christ, that our boast is in Christ, that we don't brag about what I've done. I don't brag about I've been circumcised. I don't brag about I keep the law. My bragging is in Christ. And then he said, we put no confidence in the flesh. These Judaizers, they depended upon their obedience to the law in order for them to be saved. And once again, they had put a lot of confidence in this idea of circumcision. And they said that, you know, they didn't need the cross because they had all these other things. But if you'll move on to the next slide. On the next slide, there was a couple songs. And it lets us know what our attitude should be as far as what Paul's saying here, that we put no confidence in the flesh. I don't put any confidence in the flesh for my salvation. Can I get an amen? Amen. No confidence in the flesh for my salvation. It's by God's grace. And I thank God that he has provided salvation for me. The first song, The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's what it is. No confidence in this flesh. Bill Glaze, if he puts confidence in the flesh, he can get about as far as the heaven as I can jump in the sky. And that's not too high. Confidence in the flesh will not get me to heaven. Confidence, oh, let's back up now. Confidence in good works. Confidence in being baptized. Confidence in joining a church. Confidence in treating my fellow man right will not get me into heaven. Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. Then he goes on to say, or the songwriter, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. You know, Rock of Ages, he's saying that I can't stand before a holy God in this flesh, that in order for me to stand before God, I got to hide in Jesus. I got to hide in Christ. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. You can't stand before God on your own. You got to hide in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I claim. Oh, Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. The law, circumcision, good works, baptism, keeping the Ten Commandments, I put no confidence in the flesh. Now, hopefully that all of you check that last box, which said, none of the above. Because the answer wasn't up there. And I did that on purpose. It wasn't there because there's only one answer. And I want you to be so familiar with the truth that somebody should have went over to their neighbor and bumped them and said, the real answer's not up there. Somebody should have touched the neighbor. Neighbor, oh neighbor, I don't see the real answer up there. No confidence in the flesh. And then we conclude, and Paul, and let me just run this down. Paul says this. He says in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath reason that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said, if anybody thinks that they can trust in the flesh for salvation, then I, you know what? I'm the one. I'm the one that needs to do this. And just let me read through it. Follow along with me in your notes, and I'm going to be done. He was circumcised on the eighth day. Paul's parents obeyed God's law and had Paul circumcised on the appropriate day after his birth. 8 days. And you know, there's a powerful study that's out, and we did it one Wednesday night. A powerful study that doctors have shown that on the eighth day, after a child is born, that the blood coagulates in such a way where they can do circumcision at that point, and that's the optimal time to do it, is that eighth day. And that's a medical fact, that the eighth day is the best day for circumcision. Well, now, they didn't find this out until a couple years ago. But way back 4,000 years ago, when God gave the law to Moses, he said that circumcision should be done on the eighth day. And I'm here to tell you today that what Paul was saying, you know how I prayed for young Lockhart here today? And I prayed that his parents would shoot him in the right direction like arrows? Well, for a Jewish person to get circumcised on the eighth day, that was their parent shooting them in the right direction. Paul said, look, if anybody's going to brag, I got reason to brag because I got started out right. He said, I got started out because I was circumcised on the eighth day. And then not only that, he said, but I'm of the stock of Israel. Well, what does that mean, Paul? That means I can trace my genealogical record all the way back to Jacob, which eventually goes back to Abraham. Paul said, I'm a bad boy. He said, I'm a bad boy. He said, I'm of the stock of Israel. I can go find my records, and I can trace myself all the way back to Jacob. And not only that, but Paul said, who wants to brag? Come on, let's go. Let's go. You want to brag? You throw something out, and I'll throw something out. You throw something out, I'll throw something out. You throw something out, I throw something out. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Well, what's so big about that? Well, you know, the Jews bragged because where did the first king of Israel come from? The tribe of Benjamin. Paul said, look, you know, I'm from the tribe that had the first king of Israel. So, there, take that. Well, what else, Paul? Paul said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. You want to brag? I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Now, there's a couple things what that might have meant. It either meant that both of his parents were Jews, or that he was a model Jew, or that he was educated completely as a Jew. So whatever it meant, Paul couldn't have been any more Hebrew than he was. He's like the guy, I remember growing up, there was a guy on the radio, man. I remember he said, my daddy was something else. My granddaddy was something else. My great-granddaddy was something else. I can't help myself. I just got to be something else. And that's what Paul's saying here. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, look, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I can't help but be right. I can't help but be good. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. And not only that, he said, but I'm a Pharisee. Well, what was a Pharisee? You know, in the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy, there were 630-some laws. And a good Pharisee would not only do his best to keep all 632 laws, but even what the Pharisees did is that they started putting laws on top of those laws. And so Paul said, I was a good Pharisee. He said, I not only kept the 632, but even all the other ones they added on there. You talking, anybody have a reason to trust in the flesh? Anybody have reason to say that they're right before God and that they need to go to heaven based on their good works? Hey, it's me. It's me. I'm a Benjamite. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm from the stock of Benjamin. Look, anybody, I got the reason. I got the reason to brag. And not only that, he says that my righteousness before the law was blameless. That if somebody was to check me on my righteousness, if they were to put watches on my computer, if they were to watch me everywhere I go, if there was a camera on me with everything I did, Paul said they wouldn't catch me slipping up one time. He said they wouldn't catch me one inch out of the righteousness mark. He said I was righteous. And then he talked about his zealousness. He said, in zeal, he said, I persecuted the church. He said, I was so fired up for Judaism. You're talking about being a Judaizer. Man, I was fired up, and I was so fired up that I was going into the churches, and I was persecuting Christians. I was dragging them out. And even when one of God's first preachers, Stephen, when they stoned Stephen, they took their garments and laid them at Paul's feet because he consented to it. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm about done. Let me ask you a question. What are you trusting in today for your salvation? What are you trusting in today for your salvation? And I just want to let you know, if it's anything other than Christ, look what Paul said. If anybody was going to make it based on the flesh, he was going to make it. But there's a brand X Christianity that's going around today, and it's letting us know that we can live anyway, say anything, or we can do this and do that and be saved. That's brand X. As I close, Paul says, verse 7, but what things were gained to me? And I'm gonna preach this next week. I'm just getting you ready for next week. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Well, what is he talking about? All the things that he just said. If you're sitting here today and you're trusting in your baptism, and praise God for baptism. If you're trusting in your church membership, praise God for church membership. But if you're trusting in these things, Paul said, all the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. He said, I count them as refuge that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Wow. Look at all the stuff he just said. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of faith of God and of faith. My friends, as we put up that slide in the beginning, if you check that first box, I'm not sure if I was to die today that I'd go to heaven. A few minutes, I'm going to give an invitation. And we have counselors that will open up the word of God. I'm going to invite you to come and let them have the opportunity to share with you what it means to be a Christian. If you're here today and you checked anything up there in them boxes other than the last box, none of the above, well, I'll say that, the none of the above box, all right? If you checked anything other than that, Paul was talking about you today. He was talking about you today because you're trying to work your way in. You're trying to get there by your own righteousness. And it's not by your own righteousness. It's by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, seriously consider what you're trusting in to get you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Biggest Loser. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, watch out for Brand X Christianity. You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Watch Out for Brand X Christianity. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Watch Out for Brand X Christianity. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.